Salvation. A couple of announcements. First of all, just a reminder that we will be having midweek Lenten services on Wednesday for the season of Lent. Also, I needed to bring to your attention that we will be having a special meeting on March the 15th to discuss the repair of our parking lot. And so if you are a voting member and would we would appreciate if you could attend that. There are a number of other things in the bulletin to make note of, so please do that. As we gather this morning, this, the second Sunday in Lent, before we sing our opening hymn, let us greet each other in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. And I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings of death, and your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you all. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from of old. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all their troubles. To you,
Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may your Holy Spirit strengthen our hearts and confirm our faith and hope in your grace and mercy. Although we have reason to fear because of our conscience, our sin, and our unworthiness, we may nevertheless, with the woman of Canaan, hold fast to your grace and in every trial and temptation find you a very present help and refuge. Through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Lent is written in the book of Genesis, chapter 32. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had, and Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, because saying, I have seen the face, I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered. The sun rose upon him as he passed Penuel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. This is the word of the Lord. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Look on my afflictions and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Our second reading is written in Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 4. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to live and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passions of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things. As we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you, for God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. This is the word of the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his mercy endures forever. Who can ever?
Blessed are those who keep justice and who in righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that you have toward your people. O visit me with your salvation. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, the Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, Send her away, for she is crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came up and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. She said, Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible,
and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God,
light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the fathers. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We can all believe in things that we have seen. We can all believe in things that we have experienced. And we can maybe even believe in things that we have heard, so long as the source is reliable. But believing is not faith. We have become accustomed to using them interchangeably, but they are not the same. Biblical faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. In our gospel text this morning, Jesus commends the Canaanite woman for her faith. He says, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." The question is, What is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen that are held by this woman? Well, as you recall from the gospel, she had a daughter that was severely oppressed by demons. The thing she hoped for was healing by the man whom she addressed as the Son of David, which is to say that she rightly understood Jesus as the Messiah, the one of promise, which is the conviction of things not seen. Had she heard of this, of his ability to heal the sick and cast out demons? Had she heard his teaching? Well, the text doesn't really tell us that, but she had convictions that moved her to action. With her daughter being under the control of the devil, she dispensed with some of the local conventions and sought Jesus, even though she had few strikes against her. First, being a woman, it was unconventional for her to stroll up to a rabbi and ask for any kind of favor. Second, she's a Gentile, a handicap which Jesus himself throws in her face as a test of her faith. But what is a faith that is never tested? Can a person consider himself courageous if he is never confronted with something frightening? Can a person consider himself skilled if he only knows theories read from a book? Too often we treat faith as though it were knowledge. That is to say that we believe something because we have knowledge. And certainly knowing the facts about the faith, such as the Nicene Creed, it is important. Believing those facts is important. But faith is not knowledge that one holds in their head. And it's not something that one treasures only in one's heart. But rather, faith is practiced. It is acted out. It is carried out by hands and feet and mouth and deeds. Faith is the Nicene Creed put into motion in a believer's life. We say it one day a week, but we are to live it 7 days a week. Faith is the cross under the eyes and ears of every one of one's friends and foes in day-to-day life. Faith is what we have when it is all that we have. Faith is what is left after the storm has taken away everything, when one's trust in princes and in oneself has been purged away by the flames of trial and temptation. Faith is all that a person has when all other remedies have failed. Faith takes risks. The Canaanite woman risks rejection and humiliation in her quest to find Jesus and offer up her prayer to him for help. She came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." In her faith, she has abandoned her ego. She has abandoned her pride and her self-esteem. She comes before the Lord humbly, without guile, claiming no merit for herself. She bears her soul before the one who has created her, to him who will make her well, seeking the mercy of the Lord, the Son of David, him with the power to heal, to save, to draw life out of death, and to remove the harassment of the devil. And so the Canaanite woman refuses to quit. She refuses to give up and to yield to the natural feelings of anger and resentment. Even in the face of the harsh anger and the coldness of the disciples who said, "Send her away, for she's crying out after us." She does not lose faith, even when severely tested by God himself, as the Lord Jesus seems to be rejecting her with those stunning words, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel, and it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." The Canaanite woman understood perfectly how insulting the term dog is. For Jews hold dogs to be unclean animals. And so the term dog, especially when applied to women, is nearly universally among all people a terrible insult. But the Canaanite woman, despite all of this, locks in on Jesus. She refuses to be deterred. She does not let emotion get in the way of her salvation. She clings to Christ with all the faith she can muster, and she lets it fly. She says, "Yes, Lord." For faith always says, "Yes, Lord." Even when we are tried and tempted, even when we are disappointed and hurt, when we are harassed and harried, beaten up and beaten down by the world, even when it seems God Himself has forsaken us, it is still, "Yes, Lord." She confesses this in faith. "Yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." She doesn't deny her uncleanness and unworthiness, but what she holds to is the promise of the Lord. She holds to His mercy, His providence, His table with which He shares the crumbs of His very self, offered for us men and for our salvation. Faith enables her to confess boldly her worthiness according to the Lord's promise, at the same time that she confesses humbly her unworthiness according to her own sinfulness. So the paradox is this, and it is at the heart of faith, where the two arms of the cross intersect at the heart. Our unworthiness and Christ's worthiness, the law's demands and the gospel's promise, our earned wages of death and the Lord's gracious gift of life. In her humble "Yes, Lord," this woman does not win a debate, but she wins eternal life. Jesus is not defeated in a battle of wills, but rather defeats the devil by the will of His Father, who sent the Son to give faith and hope and life to all of the dogs who await the life-giving crumbs that fall from the Master's table. "O woman," declares Jesus, "great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." She has passed the test, not by being clever, but by clinging to faith, by clinging to Christ. She has not defeated Christ in logic, but she has yielded to Him in faith. She has won because Jesus has won. The devil's grip on her family was beaten into submission, and her daughter was healed instantly. So how often do we get discouraged? How often do we feel like the Lord has left us to bless others instead of us? And yet how wrong we are. For the Lord has come to save us, to heal us, to forgive us, and to give us eternal life. And though it is a paradox, our faith means the most when our faith is tested. Our faith is made the strongest when it is challenged. Our faith is able to make us well precisely when it is all that we have and it seems so, so weak. So let us learn from this Canaanite woman. Let us learn that the meal of crumbs Jesus feeds us in the Holy Scripture is more than enough for us. That the morsel of bread of forgiveness we eat today may seem like little to anyone else, but because it is from Christ, it is indeed and can indeed sustain us. The meal of bread that falls from the table of sacrifice which is the cross, is indeed enough. And when you want a sign to know that the Lord hears your prayers, you will get it at the Master's table, where his true body and true blood are given to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And by receiving Jesus with the faith of the Canaanite woman, you are released from your demons. You are healed, and your prayers are answered, and your Lord commends you for your faith. And so let us never grow weary of approaching our Lord. Let us never weaken in our prayers with our Canaanite sister, with one another, and with our brothers and sisters in every time and every place, where we say, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." And to hear Jesus' words, "Your faith has made you well." Thanks be to God that indeed Jesus has given us this very thing, the forgiveness of our sins, not because of what we've done, but because of what he has done. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew my spirit within me. Cast me not away from and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless this, our offering, that here in this place we may continue to glorify Christ and proclaim him for the forgiveness of sin, life, and salvation. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. We continue with the prayers of the church. We pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their need. Let us pray. Most merciful God, we pray that you would cleanse and renew our hearts from the stain of sin. Bring us to genuine repentance. Pardon all our sins and renew our faith that we may have a clear conscience. Grant us the aid of your Holy Spirit to manifest the holiness of life which befits our calling through holy baptism. By faith, let us show forth the good works of Christ, who calls us from darkness into his marvelous light. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, save and defend your church from the enemies of your word. Give us faithful pastors and teachers who will gather your sheep with your voice. Feed them your blessed sacraments and lead us into everlasting life. Teach us the love of your name and the desire for what is good and right, that we should renounce all false belief and love you with our whole heart, mind, body, and strength. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, protect us from our adversary who prowls around looking to devour us. Guard those in authority over us, especially our President and Congress, that our laws would be just and justly applied for the punishment of the evildoer and for the pursuit of virtue. Be with those whose task it is to defend us from the evils of this world. We remember those who serve us in the armed forces, especially Todd, Angela, Jacob, Madison, and Kyle. So also we pray that you would bring help and aid to those who serve as police and emergency workers in our community, that they too can be kept safe and that no harm and danger would befall them. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, give to those whom you have blessed with the gift of a child your hand of help and comfort. We remember Justine, Journey, Alyssa, and Kirsten. Turn their trust and hope to you, that in the giving of life, your name may be glorified. According to your good and gracious will, we pray that you would preserve and protect both mother and child, so that joy may abound in you. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, teach us to number our days in this present life, and grant to those who celebrate birthdays this week joy in your loving kindness. We remember especially Gary. Assist him by your Holy Spirit to abide in the confession of your care and protection, and in all things glorify your holy name. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, receive our thanks and praise for the tender mercies that you have shown to your humble servants, Nick and Carolyn, who celebrate their gift of marriage this week. Grant them your Holy Spirit that acknowledges your goodness and magnifies your holy name. So also give them grace to continue in love and service to each other as they love and serve you. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, comfort those who are in distress. Grant healing to those who are sick. Give peace to those who are troubled, especially for those whom our prayers have been requested. We remember our homebound and shut-ins, Eldine, Janine, Audrey, Bev, Benny, Lenora, Benil, Margaret, and Lois. So also we pray for those whose needs are known to you, Isabel, Stacy, Dwayne, Nick, Karen, Lana, Mark, Dan, and Samantha. Bring us through the trouble and trials by your grace, that all may sing anew your wondrous love and mercy. Strengthen these by your Holy Spirit according to your gracious will, and give them comfort in life and in death, in the midst of good and evil things, that your will would be done for them. Lord, in your mercy, remember in mercy all those who this day to come to receive the Savior's body and blood in the sacrament of this altar. May all our hearts be turned in repentance, strengthened in faith, and emboldened in love to show such forgiveness, grace, and mercy and service to our neighbor. Lord, in your mercy, bless us, Heavenly Father, in this season of repentance. As we continue to walk through this Lenten tide, let us hold fast to your word. Teach us to die to self and serve you faithfully throughout this mortal life, until at last you bring us with the blessed saints into your presence forevermore. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is
truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal Feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Savior Jesus Christ, keep you strong, steadfast, both body and soul, and the life everlasting. Depart in his peace.
Body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ keep you strong and steadfast, both body and soul, until life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen.
Thank you.
give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to Almighty God that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.